a tin cup in my hand. It sure warms the fingers when it's
nobody will stand with you if you don't stand. God can't stand with you if you don't stand. And don't stand and then sit down. It's worse. It sets a precedent. No, count the cost. The cost may be dear. It may be everything. It may be your life. Okay? But unless we're willing to value freedom more than our lives, do we really deserve freedom? God can't stand with a man until the man stands. And so God is waiting for us to stand. And at that moment that when he stands, God could stand with him. And then the other thing is that people could stand with him. And nobody can stand with you until you stand.
With an eagle overhead, makes me long to fly away before my time. And I think God must be a cowboy.
Few things in this world worth dying for. Freedom is one of them. I'm going to tell you today, America, that I stand by that, and I stand with him. I'm willing to fight and defend our freedoms and to die for them. I ask you, America, stand with me. Put aside our differences, put aside our bickerings, and stand for what really matters. Stand for the freedom of this country. Learn of the knowledge of the Constitution and stand on it. Stand with me and stand with our families. Do not let what happened and what's happened for years go without reckoning.
Inside, they shot him down on his way to town.
heart. You know what freedom is, what freedom isn't. Stand. Because when you stand, others will stand with you. No matter how it ends, it matters how you stand.
United to press forward with our Father's message that He fervently taught us that only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. These past few weeks, our Father has been called many names by the world. But I'll tell you what we call Him. We call Him Daddy. And we are grateful that our faith teaches us that families are forever.
Trails to lead old cowboys home again. Trails to lead old cowboys home again.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now. All right. Here we go. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. 13th of July, almost halfway through the month already. And it's a, what is today? Today's a Wednesday. Remember, tomorrow, Thursday, Doc's going to be on with me. We're going to talk about quite a number of different gun-related things. We're going to talk about some of Doc's pet peeves, and I'm sure I'll throw some of mine in, and I'm sure that there'll be some things that we disagree on. So stick around, watch the fireworks, and we ought to have a good time. That'll be the full hour tomorrow, unless something happens tonight in the news, something dramatic that we need to talk about. We'll have him on from the beginning and get that done with there. Friday, of course, Liberty Lounge will be on regular time. I think everything is set for the rest of the week to be normal for a change. Monday, we'll begin get our pre-records back on. I will do, I'm still up in the air. I'm looking for some feedback. I haven't gotten any yet, so I have got a little bit on the chat room, but I can't keep up with it and don't write it down. So if you're interested and want to contribute to what's going on here, then take 15 seconds out of your busy schedule and send me an email and let me know what you think. I'll either do, Mondays will either be a 1 or a 2 hour pre-record. This coming Monday will be 1 hour. If we start anything new, it will be the 1st of August. So we'll do 1 hour pre-records, both Amy and I, on Mondays. She'll be gone for about probably 6 weeks, except for she'll have a fresh, clean pre-record for you on Monday so you don't forget about her. And then we'll be back hopefully to normal for a while. Nothing's ever normal around Casa de Cope, so we'll see. We'll see what happens, what the next surprise is after this one. But if you guys want to have a little bit of say-so in what goes on here, drop me an email. Here's your options. Mondays will probably be a two-hour pre-record. I'm going to continue with the pre-records on Monday because that's our family time. And I'm going to start freeing up my Mondays, although we are going to have fresh, new, current shows for you on Monday, but they'll be pre-recorded. Then one of my options are to One is to leave it the way it is. I am disinclined to do that if I can help it, but I will do that if that's what everybody insists on. I am thinking about doing at least a two-hour show on Wednesdays, and do I want to do it on Wednesday or Thursday? I don't know. I'll think about that on Wednesdays or Thursdays and Friday. Liberty Lounge is not going to change. So we'll have two, possibly 3 hours. I may even do a three-hour show on Friday so that we have time for a little bit of news Friday in the first hour, and then Liberty Lounge as normal for the next 2 hours. So that's I don't want to cut you too much short on time, even if we have to put more time into different days. I don't want to get down to just doing a 1 hour show a week or 2 hours a week or something like that. So I don't mind doing more hours on a couple of days if I can have a couple of days free to take care of other things. So 2 or 3 hour show. Now I got to think about whether. Well, it probably needs to be Wednesday, because that's the middle of the week. So Wednesday or Thursday, up to you guys. Let me know what you think is best. Monday will be a two-hour pre-record starting August 1st. And then we'll talk about whether we want to go Wednesday or Thursday. Friday will be either regular Liberty Lounge or 3 hours. So help me out and help me figure this out. I don't want to make the decision by myself and tick some of you off. Another thing that's going to come with this, I will probably start doing 99-cent podcasts on there so we can help with some of the costs here. So think about it. Send me an email. Let me know what you think. Now, this Black Lives Matter thing is something that just won't die. It needs to. It needs to die a slow, miserable death is what it needs to do. But we've got a list. It's all over the internet now. There's a list from Homeland Security out there that lists a whole bunch of cities and date or times, I mean, that they're going to protest. We've got it here in Phoenix on, they're all going to be on the 15th. So, let's see. I'm not going to name all of them because there's a ton of them here. Phoenix, 5 o'clock. If you're in Arizona, you got two choices. Go get involved or stay the hell away from it. Tucson, 5 p.m. also. And then there's 1, 2, 3 in California. There's Denver, D.C., Atlanta, Tampa, Orlando, Miami, Chicago, Des Moines, New Orleans, Baltimore, Boston, Detroit, Lansing, Ann Arbor, Minneapolis, St. Louis, Carson City, and I think there was a couple more, but that's all I got in the deal here. So we'll find out. That'll happen. When is Friday? That's the 15th, right? 15th is Friday. So could be interesting. Could be very interesting. There's a lot of speculation of what could be happening here over the next possibly the next 2 or 3 days, but certainly over the next 2 or 3 months. A lot of the doomsdayers are expecting the worst. The common sense people are expecting the worst and hoping for the best. And the liberals are saying all is well in Zion. It's all normal. Everything's fine. So we'll see. Won't take long. The 305, I'm looking at your post on here, and it looks like you're having a little trouble with decapping pins, and I can't figure out why. I don't know if you're using a progressive, and it's a little aggressive on the reloading, or what's going on. Because of all the years I've been reloading, I don't believe I may have broken one decapping pin in my life. Not counting two that I had to drill out because I didn't get enough lube on a 30-06 case and broke them out in the process. But as far as just reloading, I think I've only broke one, so I'm not sure you do have to lay into that military brass a little bit slower, and there's the newer RCBS pins seem to be, in my experience, and we seem to be a little bit stronger than the old ones. They seem to work pretty well. So I don't know how old your press is or what, but you shouldn't be having that much trouble. I can't figure out what's going on there. But hopefully you get it worked out, because I know it's aggravating as hell when you do something like that. But reloading is a good thing, and I'm glad to see you're putting those kind of numbers out in your reloading. I think that should be... I'm not really as excited as some people are about just getting a bunch of reloading stuff and sticking it back and saving it for when the poop hits the fan. To me, that makes absolutely no sense. Unless you have so much ammunition sucked back that you don't think you'll ever need any more. You know, having the equipment put back and maybe a few components for hard times may be okay, but to have it with the intention of reloading to replenish your supply later, I think is ridiculous. I just don't believe that we're going to have the luxury of being able to just shut down and go sit around the campfire and smoke and joke and load ammo at night. I just really don't see it that happening. But if you've got your supplies put away and you're comfortable with that and you want to store the reloading plus, I wouldn't for a minute try to talk you out of it, but it just doesn't make any sense to me. And in saying that, I've got a little bit of stuff that I intend to put away, but it may be, you know, barter items. It may be in our lifetimes there'll be ammo around for a long time. If they shut down manufacture today, there'll be ammo around for quite a while. But anyway, if you're loading for practice and competition and just to store back, I think that's a wonderful thing. I wish I had time to do it like I used to, because I sure got a bunch of it that needs loaded. I guess you can come on over here one night and load a bunch of it for me, and we'll be in good shape. All right. Yeah, that could be 305, either one, bird end primed or a smaller flash hole. Unlikely the smaller flash hole, it's possible, but it sure might be a bird end primed case. As a matter of fact, I think the one or two that I've done in my life, that's exactly what happened. That was not a good thing. All right, let's restore a little faith here in some of our elected officials. I want you to know that there are some good ones out there, and I think that we need to refrain from saying that we need to have a complete reboot, just getting rid of all of them and starting over. I don't believe that, because I know that there are some of them that have worked very hard to get to where they're at now, and maybe that's not the right way to put it, that have been educated properly and are starting to take a stand, and I don't want to lose them. We can still replace a whole hell of a bunch of them and not move some of the ones that we have that are good. Steve Pierce over in New Mexico is one of those I'd like to see stay there. He is New Mexico's saving grace right now. Tom Coburn, matter of fact, Tom Coburn may be retired now. I'm not sure. We're going to hear from him in a minute. But there are several of them, young, ambitious, hard-charging ones in the coalition of Western states. And I surely don't want to lose them. So there's getting to be more and more come around all the time. And we want to hang on to them. And here's one little ray of sunshine from Tom Coburn. I think I played this a month or so ago, but in lieu of what we're talking about, or in the interest of what we're talking about tonight, I want to play it again. It's only a couple of minutes.
In 2015, I spent my time in 21 different states. I was in Ohio last week, by the way. And America doesn't trust you anymore. That's the truth. because they don't see the actions coming out of Congress that should be coming out. And that doesn't mean that they're right all the time, but you've lost their confidence. And that's not one party, that's both. Now, the unfunded liabilities of this country with its debt is $142 trillion. That's $1 million per family, or that's $1 million per taxpayer. Either way you break it down. Nobody knows what a trillion is, but when you're telling a young family with two small kids that, you know, by the way, here's the debt burden that's coming to you over the next 25 years, you better be prepared for it. Because the other point that I would make with you is the standard of living in this country, although increased, the median family income is exactly the same as it was in 1988. And there's reasons for that. And the reason for it is too much government and too intrusive a government. These are real problems that you all have the capability to address, and I came here to encourage you to do that. I would also tell you that there's another movement afoot in the country, and that is to force you to do it. And that's through Convention of States, and two have passed this last week. We're at 10, and it won't be long before we meet the 34-state requirement. And we will have a convention of states, and then we will make recommendations to the states, one on a balanced budget amendment using generally accepted accounting principles with very little wiggle room that will force you. It'll give Congress the backbone to do what they need to be doing in the first place. And also limitations in scope on jurisdiction. And you're going to see that coming forward. And that now has 1,700,000 activists following it every day. Involved in it, 650,000 actually working at state capitals. One of the things the American people are asking, you know, quite frankly, is you have an oath. Why do we have to have a constitutional amendment for Congress to do what's best for the country? And they have decided that Congress can't do what's best for the country, so they're going to do it themselves under the Constitution. In other words, the Constitution actually is the powerful tool with which to solve the problem of our country. It's big enough to solve the problem.
Go Tom Coburn. I like him. I believe that he was from Oklahoma, I think, is where he was a representative or a senator. I don't remember which, but I like him. He's always been real strong and always been very, very pro-gun, stuck with the Constitution. There's others out there like him. And it looks like there's going to be an uprising here before long. A lot of these military officials, and I mean elected officials and military officers and whatnot, are really taking a stand that I've never seen before, at least not that I remember, maybe long ago, but I love what Alan West is telling the military here just a little while ago, and I think it was all over this the executive order about transgenders and stuff, I believe it was. Let me see if I can bring that up here. That was a good, I don't know if any of you have heard this or not, but I really like it. He's on here with Judge Jeanine, and I really like her too. She's very, very outspoken, very honest, I think, in what she says, and doesn't take any crap from anybody.
The Obama administration reducing our military by 90,000, actually issuing pink slips to some veterans upon their return from combat duty, while at the same time looking to put illegals in our military and arm them by his unilateral executive order. Now, besides the obvious problem of kicking our military to the curb upon their return from combat, isn't this a violation of federal law? With me now, retired Lieutenant Colonel Alan West and Fox News contributor. All right, good evening, Colonel West. Thank you for being here this evening. Now,
good evening,
federal
Judge. Thank
law
you.
Says, Title 18 USC 922 says it is a felony to arm an illegal with a firearm. What do you say?
No, you're absolutely correct. That's U.S. code, but you know, when has law ever meant anything to Barack Hussein Obama? But the more important thing that we have to come to understand is if you go to the Constitution, to Article 1, Section 8, Clause number 4, that says that only the Congress has the ability to make rules or laws in regards to naturalization. The President does not have that. And so when you go back and look at the executive order he did, calling it a Dream Act, you look at this edict that he has sent down, it is an unlawful order. Because what he is basically saying to the Army military recruiting commands is that you will sign up illegals, and they cannot do that. And I think that they are well within their rights to disobey and not comply with that order coming from the commander-in-chief.
Very interesting. I mean, and, you know, look, if you've got the administration, the Eric Holder is still the AG there, he's not going to prosecute these cases anyway or have any of his U.S. attorneys do that. But the whole concept right from the get-go, as you say, it's a constitutional issue. This is a citizenship issue. Congress is supposed to do this.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And again, you just brought up an interesting point. When you look at the status of our United States military right now, the Army that I served 22 years in is currently at pre-1940 conscription levels. The United States Marine Corps is about 1917 levels. The United States Navy is at World War I levels. The United States Air Force is the smallest and the oldest fleet that we have had. But yet you have a president that is saying, even as we are pink slipping, our own combat leaders in combat zones and others, giving them 30 to 60 days to get out of the military, that he's going to open up the military to people who are here illegally. Now, understand this, Judge. This is the incredible hypocrisy, is that Barack Hussein Obama is saying, we're going to enlist people into the United States military, meaning that they're going to take an oath to support and defend the very document that they have disregarded in being in our country
coming
illegally.
Here in the first place. You know what's interesting, Colonel, also, the idea of the President is making an effort to chip away at our Second Amendment rights. I mean, it is a constant by this administration. And yet they're looking to give illegals guns to fight for our country, to give them a path to citizenship, admitting they're not citizens yet. So, you know, what is he thinking? I mean, aside from the fact he's got this pen and a phone and all that other stuff, why is he doing this?
Yeah. Well, it goes back to something he said about 2 weeks ago to the Congressional Hispanic Caucus Foundation, is that he will use executive orders to try to see how he can provide that amnesty to 11.5 million illegal aliens that are here. And this is one of the means by which he will do that. Basically, what President Obama is doing, not just with the $500 million he wants to send to the Syrian free rebels, but also here in our own country, he's outsourcing our national security to people who have no care, no regard, no concern about the United States of America, all because of political gain. The important thing for Barack Obama is the demographic transformation, part of his fundamental transformation of the United States of America, so that those illegal aliens will soon be citizens that are going to vote for
Democrats.
A one-party system.
All
absolutely.
Right. Colonel Alan West, thank you so much for being with us
thank
this
you.
Evening.
Long story short, disobey Barack Obama's executive order, talking to our military. I think it's a good idea.
Yes, I know I'm late.
Getting home tonight.
Can supper wait?
I guess I lost my appetite.
Yes, you can fix me a drink.
And anything's okay.
Oh, by the way,
I met a friend of yours today. I was working on the other side of town. And coming home, I thought I'd stop and have a round.
And in this bar, I heard someone speak your name. And that's how I met a friend of yours today.
Tell and I introduced myself. And you should have seen his face. Oh, what a shame. I met a friend of yours today. Please don't cry, woman, 'cause it's much too late for tears. Yes, I'm sorry too, 'cause it hurts after all these years. And ain't it sad that love like ours should end this way? And all because I met a friend of yours today. Ain't it sad a love like ours should end this way? And all because I met a friend of yours today.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone call my name one day and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio. Liberty Lounge. Every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern. Right here on Survival Circle. Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. All right, let's get back in here. Looks like Blue Raven has joined us here for a little while. Let me see, where am I at? There's a problem getting everything going. Oh, you know, I looked at today. I haven't really thought of any holsters for quite a while. I've been real happy with both BladeTech and CompTac. I have some of each, and I like them. A Phobos or something like that is okay. They're not exactly what. Not my favorite holster, but they're okay for a utility holster. I actually do use one. I've got a paddle holster that I use when I'm go out running a little bit in the mornings. I put a that one on because it's quick and easy, and I just slide it in the in under the belt and take off. I get a little light Camelback 3 liter deal altogether. Probably weighs. What 12, 15 pounds max, and so that holster works good for that. It's minimal and all that. But DeSantis has come out with one here that I really, really like. It's a it's Kydex, and it's a tuckable inside the pants holster, and it's ambidextrous. It looks good. It's slim. It's, you know, some of these ones have so many rivets and flanges and stuff on them. They just look like hell, and they're uncomfortable. But I'm going to get one, and they're cheap. This same holster from it's quite a bit different, but a similar holster from Blade Tech is, if I remember right, they were Kydex was actually $60-$75, something like that. Now the injection molded ones were less, but injection molded is not Kydex. And Kydex cannot be, unless something has changed in the last very few years, Kydex cannot be injection molded. So basically they're just plastic. But this DeSantis is really, if you want to look it up, it's called a Slim Tuck. Slim Tuck, T-U-K. And you may, I think I would like it a lot. I intend to get one. They're $39, by the way. So I intend to try one of those in the not too distant future here. So another happy story from Carl's Jr. The last one we had, last story we had from Carl's Jr., was in Layton, Utah, and if you'll remember, that was the one where the guy dropped his gun and it went off and he killed the toilet. Remember that? There, and then a week later they had the memorial service for John, remember? Well, here's another one out of Covina, California, I think. 19-year-old planned to grab some quick cash via armed robbery at Covina. Carl's Jr. was shot and killed by his intended target, who happened to be an off-duty Los Angeles Police Department Reserve officer. The officer said they stopped in for lunch. The suspect approached the officer, brandished a weapon, announced a robbery. The officer, in turn, fearing for his own life, drew his weapon and shot the suspect multiple times. Well, that's what happens, I guess. It's one of those things. So, let's see. We've got Northwest Heavy. Yeah, that Revolution holster of Blatex is a great holster. I'm not as happy with them as the older ones, but they quit making some of the older ones. I've still got I kind of stocked up on them since I had the store. I bought several extras and have them put away just in case. I've even actually put some away with some of my put away guns. And yeah, Doc's a big fan of leather. Of course, leather had just been invented about the time Doc first started thinking about carrying a cap lock pistol. So he's kind of got an affinity for him, I guess. But I done away with leather quite some time ago. There's something about there's definitely something about a nice, well-made, you know, something like Galco or something like that. The looks of a good leather holster, they're really, really appealing to look at. The ones that I wear are not very appealing. They're not very pretty at all. But they work. They've got some degree of retention. And I don't have to worry about them stretching. I don't have to worry about them getting wet, getting brittle. The stitching, stretching, or anything like that. And I don't know that that's a valid concern anyway, because leather holsters last a long time if you take care of them. The thing is, with these plastic ones, you don't have to take care of them. You don't do anything. You just put it on in the morning. You know, if you're worried about your finish on your gun, then once in a while, if you've been out in a sandstorm, you might just pull a rag through it just to get some of the dust and grit out of it and go on about your business. But I don't like straps, so the retention of a leather holster doesn't appeal to me. Now, inside the pants is not really an issue. If it's inside the pants, your retention is your belt and just the fact that it's sandwiched in there, and that's okay. But for open carry outside the pants, I haven't done leather. I quit carrying leather. I've still got. Matter of fact, I'm looking at one right now. There's one laying across the room on the table over there. But I quit carrying leather in 2004. 2004 was when I started carrying a Bladetech holsters. 305, yes, they do make an IWB for the Glock 29. Absolutely, they do, and have for years. They make several different models of it. One of them, and the cheapest, easiest, and you know, one of the best, one of the ones that I still carry today when I carry inside the pants, is called the Fitzall. It's not made to length for any particular length. It's kind of it's a little kind of minimal. It's not like a what they call those Yaki slide holsters. It's not that minimal. It would be about right for the 29, but the 20 or the 21, the barrel would stick out about an inch and a half or something like that. But the Fitzall, they're cheap. I think you can get them probably get them on Amazon for, you know, 20, 22, 25 bucks, something like that. So, you know, look into it. See, and they've got several others too. They've got some tuckable holsters. 29 is a little, the 29, 20, 30, 21, they're all a little more than I like to put inside the pants. Can you do it? Sure. It's just a little more than I'd like to have there. The standard size Glock doesn't bother me. I've gotten very accustomed to it. But to step up one step to the 29 would be more than I think I'd want to do inside. The not that I don't absolutely love the 10 millimeter, but I use it mostly for hunting. I'm not really a big fan of it for out on the street. But anyway, it's all in what you like and what you're used to. And I know you're a fan of it. That 29. I'll tell you what we found out about the 29 and the 30 both. Is they have, hey Risen, haven't seen you for a while. Man. The 29 and the 30 both have extraordinary accuracy for their size. They shoot exceedingly well, very, very well. And so you lose a little velocity, which you kind of cheat yourself out of for the 10 millimeter, but there you won't lack for accuracy out of them. Matter of fact, I'll have to look and see. I have all my targets around here somewhere, and we took a 30. And put a 29 barrel in it, I believe it was, and that's all we changed. We didn't change the extractor. We didn't do anything else, and it shot like a rifle, man. I mean, it really, really did good. And I think probably one of the most accurate out of the box Glocks that we had back when the 45 gap was so popular. Was the all of the gaps from the, let's see, what was it, the 37, 38, and 39, I believe it was. And the 37 was the full size, the 38 was the compact, and the 39 was the subcompact. And I've still got targets and stuff that we've saved from test firing those, and gosh dang, those things shoot well. If it wasn't for the availability of ammo and the price and all that, I wouldn't feel bad about having a 45 gap. I thought that was a great cartridge for what it was. It was a we won't get into all that and get into the wherefores and everything of it, but it was a step up, if you ask me, from the 45 ACP. Plus, it allowed you to have a smaller framed gun and still have the power of the 45 if you like a 45. But they C7, I'm glad you dropped in here, buddy. I miss you coming in here once in a while. I'm glad you made it tonight. The Charlie Brown, what do you got a 22 rifle? What do you mean you'd like something smaller? Smaller than a 22? You're down to you're kind of limited there, buddy. You get smaller than a 22, you have a if you're looking at rimfire, you've only got the 17 HMR and the 17 Mach 2, both of which are solutions to non-existent problems. A smaller gun. Okay, I got you. I see. What are you shooting right now? What kind of gun you got now that you want something smaller for? It'd probably be more convenient if you were local. But we've got the Vernon Community Park over here is giving away a 10/22. It's one of the takedown models, and it's a camouflage, really a sharp looking gun. I imagine I'm going to wind up buying more of these tickets than I should, because I'd really like to have that gun. I've already got two 10/22s, but I wouldn't mind having another one. Just reading what Doc's saying here. Yeah, that little I didn't know that the J.C. Higgins Model 88, I didn't know it was made by High Standard, but I do know that the Sentinel is a great gun. They shoot really well. They're a little complicated, you know, considering I kind of went with the Ruger Mark IIs, and I've really pretty much abandoned everything else, any thought of anything else. It doesn't mean there's not good guns out there. It just means that I don't have any use for them anymore, and I don't want one. But I wouldn't badmouth some of them, because there's a lot of good Buck Mark's a good gun. I wouldn't say anything badmouth anybody else's 22 there, but I'm a fan of the Mark II. I don't the Mark IIIs are okay, but I really like the Mark IIs better. And they've got just a size for everything. They've got the little 4-inch drift adjustable sights all the way up to the 10.5-inch adjustable sights. And that 10.5-inch adjustable will keep up with just about any 22 rifle out there. They shoot really, really well. I've got two of the 6 7/8 target barrels, and I think I still have two of the 4-inch just little standard models. But I've killed crows and prairie dogs and squirrels and stuff out to, you know, 80 and 100 yards or a little more with those Mark IIs. I'm really proud of those things. I mean, I think I told you I've got one that I shot to pieces. I mean, I shot it down to where I have no idea how many tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands. I don't know. I never kept track of it, but we shot thousands and thousands and thousands of rounds through that thing, almost nonstop. And I finally, just so many things had happened to it, I finally just sent it back to the factory, and they rebuilt it, re-blued it, and did everything to it, and the whole 9 yards cost me $75. Most of it was covered under warranty. The bluing was extra that I asked for, so they charged me for that. But it was quite literally a brand new. Take care, Blue Raven. Thanks for dropping in, buddy. It was literally a brand new gun when I got it back. Hey, 305. That was quick, buddy. That's you know, that's humbling to me that you would take my word that quick and just jump in there and buy that holster. But I think you'll enjoy it. It's and it'll work for a 20 or 21, or if you want to get a full size gun, I think you'll like that holster. Let's see what else is going on here in the chat room. The you know, Doc, I've never really recommended to anybody that 22 is a viable defensive carry gun, but you know, it has its benefits for somebody that is calm, cool, and collected, and shoots well, and using the right kind of ammunition. you know, you could probably do worse than a 22. The thing about the 22, a couple of things is the lack of recoil, which makes it quick, you know, quick follow up shots. So it wouldn't be remotely difficult at typical, typical bedroom ranges with that thing to make, you know, multiple headshots with it as fast as you can pull the trigger. I've done that out there when we were living in New Mexico. I took one out there and put a 8-inch plate out there, and I don't remember how far it was. It was 10 or 12, 15 yards, something like that. But just as damn fast as I could rip them off out of that thing, I hit that plate 100% of the time. Ding, 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 ding. So, you know, there's benefits to it. The downsides is the lack of penetration. Now, it penetrates fine in the human body. It does everything it needs to do. But when you look at stuff that's maybe carried in pockets, or, you know, heavy leather jackets and things like that, there's some downsides there. I'm stuttering here because I'm trying to keep up with the chat room too. But if someone is calm, cool, and collected, there's not a thing wrong with the 22 with the right type of ammunition. Now, I would also say that, don't get me wrong. When I say that, I don't mean that it's okay for you to run out and buy one because Cope said it's a good defensive carry gun. It's not. If that's what you've got and that's what you're using at the time and you can keep your head together, it would work well. But far and away, not my first choice. Not even my second choice. Not even my eighth choice. But if it's all I had, I would make it work. You'd probably want to have, if possible, a little longer barrel on it. That's the bad thing about when you get down to pocket-size defensive carry guns. Now, if I was out there with a 4-inch or a 6-inch Mark II, then it's going to be shame on your ass. But with a little inch and a half pocket gun, it may be shame on me, because you get the velocity down to, you know, 700 feet a second or so, and that's unacceptable. A 40 grain bullet at 700 feet a second is just not feasible for a defensive, you know, concealed carry gun. That's right, 305, 22 Magnum works just fine. I don't know if C7 was around here that night. I don't think he was with us. It was the night of Liberty Lounge, I believe it was, on Friday night. And lo and behold, we had a bear interrupt our happy little party here. Come right in the goat pen while we were trying to enjoy ourselves and relax and listen to some country music, and here comes a damn bear right out and peed in our post toasties right in the middle of all of it. So I make a long story short, I went out there real quick and dispatched him with my 22 Magnum and went right back to the show. It was interesting. Interesting night, no doubt about it. Well, remember, tomorrow night is going to be our big firearms night. Doc's going to be with me the entire show, yeah, unless something dramatic comes up, and even if it does, we'll get that covered real quick and get back on topic here. And Friday will be Liberty Lounge as usual. I do have some plans to make some changes the 1st of August. I need you guys' input. Please send me an email. Send it to theshootingbench@live.com. Don't put it in the chat room. I'll probably miss it unless you put it in there right now. But I'm looking at possibly, we're going to continue to do pre-records on Monday. That's our family night, and I've just neglected it for too many years doing this. So I'm going to, at least for the present time, I'm going to abandon shows on Monday and do pre-records. They'll be current and fresh. It just won't be live on Monday. And I'm looking at probably either Wednesday or Thursday, probably Wednesday, doing a 2 or 3 hour show, and Friday doing a 2 or 3 hour show. That could also be Thursday or Friday. So I don't have really a set thing that I want to do right now. I do want to do a show on Mondays because of the basically 3 days of not doing anything with Liberty Lounge, and then Saturday and Sunday there's always some fresh new stuff that needs to be talked about. So Monday will always be a fresh pre-record. Wednesday's in the middle of the week. We can catch up on current events there. Friday, probably an hour of news. If I do a three-hour show, it'd be an hour of news. And 2 hours of music, like always. I haven't decided yet if I want to do 2 or 3 hours, but I will definitely do at least 2 hours. That would be... right now we're doing, what, 2, 3, 4, 5. Right now we're doing 6 hours a week. And if I did that, I would be doing, if I did 3 hour shows, I would be doing 9 hours a week. If I did 2 hour shows, I'd be doing the same as I'm doing now, just putting it all together in one deal. I'm also going to start charging 99 cents for podcasts after August 1st. I know I'm going to lose a few listeners over that, but we're not getting the support that we need to keep things running, so I'm going to see if charging for the podcast will help make up for that. So, that's what's going on, and Doc, if you tell anybody I'm a source and collector, I'm going to have to make a trip down to Mississippi. So, yeah, I think Bryco is definitely a clear-cut winner there, huh? The C7, what do you mean? How far is your delay behind? You seem to be caught up pretty good. Anyway, whatever the case may be, I think I'm going to ease on out of here. We will be back tomorrow with Doc and Friday with Liberty Lounge. So thanks a bunch. See you then. Bye-bye.
He had a mean streak 2 feet wide. A son of a gun with a taste for fun and more than his share of pride. Take a dirt road curve with the devil's nerve, make a car dance across the mud, and haul and shine with his regular lines with a track got in his blood. Was a real hot shot, and he bragged a lot, but man, that fool could drive. Cause he loved
the
field.
You've been listening to The Shooting Bench. Tune in Monday through Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. to midnight Eastern, for the most politically incorrect show on talk radio.
Mama, lock your daughters up, that foul bunch is back in town. And them little girls get frisky when they hear that race car sound. They're bringing out the yellow flag, somebody breaks a trail. There's a whole slick on the inside and a rick along the rail. You better stand on the stroker, cause a bandit's on your tail.
Tune in again on Fridays at the same time for 2 hours of classic country music on Liberty Lounge.
It's a downright joy for a country boy when he hears them engines moan. But you gotta hang tough, and it gets real rough when you're out there on your own. Cause they'll push you around, they'll knock you down.
And catch Living Away Out Here with me, Amy Reynolds, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, for the only good news out there. Trivia, stories, tips, hints, and fun on Living Way Out Here, right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Get your dander up, this ain't no time to lag. You got to make a lap up if you're gonna take that checkered flag. Number 10 is closing in to even up the score. It's time to wave bye-bye and put the pedal on the floor. You better stand on the stroker, cause you're blowing off their door. Blow the door off, stroker. Stand up.